Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining to learn the Daf Yomi. We are again throughout the summer, Be'ez Hashem, going to be learning the next day's Daf. So now we're going to be doing Monday's Daf, which is Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Beis. So tomorrow's Daf is Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Beis. And today's Shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Mindy and Henry Orlinsky, L'Zecha Nishmas, Chaim Abba Ben Yosef, Alav Shalom, Mindy's father, Yishuz Nesham Shev, and Aliyah. And it is also sponsored by Josh Kra in memory of Malka Bas Yehuda Alav Shalom, whose yahrzeit is today, and Nesham Shev, and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Mark and Karen Benson in memory of Betzal Mordechai Ben David Avraham Alevi on his yahrzeit, also Nesham Shev, and Aliyah. And it's also sponsored by Chaim and Rachel or Rachel Weinstein, Le'il Nishmas Mordechai Menachem Ben Yaakov Lipa Hakohen, and Nesham Shev, and Leah, we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today, we're going to pick up from the two dots on the bottom of Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss for how long do we assume that a person can refrain from having bia, can restrain himself from having bia in a situation of yibum, meaning when does he lose the ne'emanus if he continues to insist that he has not yet done yibum. And then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that the Mishnah had said that we force a guy in certain circumstances to do Chalitza. Why didn't the Mishnah just say that we force him to do Yibum when it's within 30 days? Then the Gemara is going to discuss when a woman takes a neder from the rest of the world, does she mean to include her Yavam in the neder as well? Or does that not even enter her mind that the Yavam would ever be mutter to her? It's her husband's brother. She's not even thinking about the Yavam, and therefore maybe he's not included in such a neder. And that discussion will Be'ez Hashem bring us to the end of the 13th parak of Maseches Yevamos, and then will Be'ez Hashem begin the 14th parak of Yevamos, and a long first Mishnah, where the Mishnah is going to discuss all the sorts of dinim of get and yibum and chalitza involving marriages where there's at least one cheresh or chareshes in the marriage, or yibum and chalitza situations where among the four people, the two brothers who are married to two women, there's at least one cheresh or chareshes in the equation. So that's good. And just the Mishnah really seems complicated because it goes through a million different permutations, but it's really just an application of like two or three rules that the Mishnah just applies in different ways. And then the Gemara that immediately follows is going to discuss when and from whom were they and for whom were they misakin marriages midrabanan, and for who were they not misakin marriages midrabanan. Meaning, let's say you have a person who's a cheresh. Can a cheresh get married at least on a drabana level? What about a shota? What about a katan? What about a ketana? What about a shota? What about a chareshes? Right? When were we misakin marriage with drabana and when not? So let's begin again. Kofi Ralvan Beis at the two dots on the bottom of the page. Yivama Shamar B'toch Shloshim Yom. So the Mishnah said that if the Yivama claims within 30 days that lo nevalti, that the man hasn't done yibum yet, so we force him to do chalitza on her because we trust that that he has not yet done yibum, that she's telling the truth, even though he's claiming that he did the Yibum, and therefore he's forced to do the Chalitza. So man Tana Datos Yom Mokum in Shnafshe, who's the Tana that seems to assume that for 30 days a person can restrain himself from having Bia Amr Rabbi Yochanan or Meir, that's Dafka going like the Sheet of Rabbi Meir. Detanya Tainas Besulim called Shoshim Yom Divra Meir. Rameir holds that a husband can come with the Tainas Besulim only if it's still within the first 30 days of marriage. Meaning, if a husband has bia with his wife and discovers that she is not a basula, but he had committed 200 zuz to a ksuba, as if she were a basula, so he had assumed going into the marriage she was supposed to be a basula, so he can come to Bezin the very next day with a Tainas Besulim. But he can't delay, he can't stay with her a few weeks and then come with the Tainas Besulim. So we believe within the first 30 days of marriage that he had first discovered at that point that she in fact was not a basula, because he could have restrained himself for 30 days. And the reason we believe him is because chazaka in adam torech basudas nisun umafsido. We assume that he's not going to spend all that money on a wedding just to throw it out with the tainas basulim the next day. Remember, in the times of Chazal, the assumption was that the man was the one paying for the wedding. So that's why we have the assumption that he would not would not lose all that money for no reason if he was going to make it up. So it must be that he's telling the truth, that she really was not a basula. But he's got 30 days to do so, according to Rameir. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nistra li alter, lo Nistra af leacher kamashanim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, there's no magical 30-day time period. If they had yichud together, then we assume he couldn't restrain himself for even a moment. Then we assume for sure, if there was yichud, then they must have had bia. But if it's lo Nistra, if they haven't had yichud yet, they haven't been alone yet, so then it could be years if they haven't been alone yet. We assume that they have not yet had bia, and therefore, the very first time they're alone together, he can come with the tainus besulim. Rabba Amar, so that's the first approach. First approach is it must be that the town of our mission that assumes that it's within the first 30 days, he will have refrained from doing yibum, but after that, we cannot believe that he restrained himself, must be going like Rabbi Meir, because when it came to tainus besulim, Rabbi Meir assumes that within 30 days, it's still believable that they haven't yet had bia. Rabba Amar afilu tamer Rabbi Yossi. No, even Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a tainus besulim is immediate, that there's no way he's going to restrain himself for 30 days, would agree over here that he would restrain himself in a Yibam situation, that he would restrain himself. Why? When it's a case of a woman that he's marrying, he's obviously very comfortable with her, he's obviously planning on being with her for the rest of his life, so therefore there's a comfort level where he's not going to hold himself back. The couple's not going to restrain themselves, and they'll be able to, and they're going to have bia immediately. But Eishas Achiv, I mean, can you imagine how awkward that situation must be when they've been brother-in-law and sister-in-law for all this time, and now all of a sudden there's a mitzvah yibum? It must be the most awkward situation in the world. So that's something that may take a little while to get comfortable enough with in order to be able to have bia. So it could be that Rabbi Yossi would agree in a yibum situation it's going to take him 30 days. So now the Gemara goes on and discusses a new thing. The Mishnah said that if the Yavama claims within 30 days that lo nivalti, we force the guy to do chalitza. He's got to take care of her. He's got to do chalitza. So ad shekovnos alachlots nechmenu liabim, asked the Gemara, instead of forcing her to do chalitza, why don't we instead force him to do yibum if he's not... If he's not interested in doing anything, he hasn't done anything yet, why would we force chalitza? Adrabu, you know, the Gemara tells us that mitzvah yibum is kodemus le mitzvah chalitza. That really the ikar mitzvah is that one is supposed to do yibum, that you're not supposed to do chalitza. So the Tosos in Dibur Maschal Amar Rabbi Ami says, I don't understand what the kasha is. Why doesn't the Gemara just answer that we force him to do chalitza because ultimately in the later generations they changed it and now we do chalitza and not yibum, meaning now mitzvah chalitza is kodem le mitzvah yibum. So Tosa suggests that all of the Mishnayis are still working the Mishnah Rishona. They're still working with the assumption of the old days, when Mitzvah Yibum was called the Mitzvah Chalitza. So if we're going to interpret a Mishnah, it has to be within the context or within the assumption, the framework, that Mitzvah Yibum is Kodemes. Now, we don't really find anywhere that we force a person to do Yibum. The Rambam in Hilchas Yibum, Perek Beis Halacha Hei, says that we force him to be Mekayim the Din of O Miyabim O Yachlots. So the Rambam says it a little bit differently. The Gemara's Kasha might not be why don't we force him to do Chalitza? The Gemara's Kasha might be, why do we only mention Chalitza as a possibility in the Mishnah? Meaning the forcing shouldn't be to do chalitza per se, the forcing should be do whatever you got to do, whether it's going to be Yibum, whether it's going to be chalitza, whichever your choice is going to be. But be that as it may, that's the Gemara's Kasha. Why don't we mention Yibum among the things that we're forcing him to do? So Amarav, Bishakita Yotze Mitachas Yada, because he had already given her a get, and by giving her a get, he has disqualified himself from doing Yibum on her. So says Mar, really? The case is that he already gave her a get? Meis ve Yivama, Shamar B'tol Shoshim Yom Lo Nevalti, if the Yivama says within 30 days that I have not yet had bia with my yavam, bein shu homer balti, bein shu homer lo balti, regardless of what he claims, whether he claims that he did or did not have bia, kofno so shiachlotzo, we force him to do chalitza, liachar shloshim yom mevakshnei menu shiachlotzo. But if it's after 30 days and she says that they haven't yet done yibum, that they haven't yet had bia, we can't force him to do chalitza, we can only be mevakish, because we trust that he's telling the truth after 30 days, that for sure they've had bia at that time. But he omeris nevalti, if let's say after 30 days she says yes, we've already done yibum, and he says no, we have not, so she is na'amenes and she doesn't require a chalitza because the person is not going to be ma'amen atzma for more than 30 days. So if she says nevalti, she's the one telling the truth, So if he wants to get rid of her at that point, hareze yotzi beget. He has to give her a get. Now, let's say 30 days have passed. Hu amar ba'alti, vihi omeres lo nevalti. He says, I already did yibum, which is very believable. It's more than 30 days. Of course he did yibum by that time. But she's saying, no, he did not do yibum. Even if he then came back and said, no, no, she's right, I changed my mind, I did not have bia with her, we still don't believe that he did not have bia with her, because we cannot believe that a person would restrain himself for 30 days. And therefore, tzricha get v'chalitza. You need a get because he was for sure boel her, it's been 30 days, so therefore you can need a get that we assume that he was boel her, so they did yibum, so they're married, so you need a get, and you also need a chalitza, because according to her claim that he was not yet boel her, so she's asking herself to get remarried without a chalitza. So therefore, we're going to ask him to do a chalitza as well. So in this last din of the brisa, we're saying that you need a get. Why do you need a get? That implies that he has not yet given her a get. But the Gemara, I thought, Rav said that the case is that gita yotze mitachas yada, that he had already given her a get. Meaning, let's backtrack again. The Gemara had asked the question, why do we say we force him to chalitza? Why not say we force him to do yibum? The Gemara says, you can't force him to yibum. She already has a get. So says, what do you mean she already has a get? The brisa goes on and talks about how we then, at a later point, force him to give a get. How could you force him to give a get if she already has a get? So I'm Rabbi Ami Tzricha Chalitza Im Gita. Eino Chanami, when it says at the end of the brisa that he has to give her a get and a chalitza, it means, in addition to the get that she already has, he has to do a chalitza. Not that that he's giving a new get at this point. Or another answer, Avashi Amar, Hasan get l'zikaso, Hacha get l'biaso. That really we're talking about where he gave her a get. But the get that he gave her in the Reisha of the Brisa is very different than the get that we're asking him to give her in the Seifa of the Brisa. In the Reisha of the Brisa, he gave a get while all they had was Zika. The brother had died, now there was a Zika between him and his brother's wife, and he gave her a get at that point. That get passes him from doing Yibum, but it doesn't really patter her, right? It only has an impact Midrabanan. But now he's already done Yibum, which means that they're married Midoraisa. So now the get has an entirely different function. Now it's a get that actually gets rid of the marriage Midoraisa. So therefore there's going to be a need for two gets. So now the Gemara discusses a story that occurred, or a case that came up that relates to this discussion. Hanu Shnei Amodim. There was a case where the Yavama claimed that the Yavam had not had beer with her. The Yavam claimed that he had, and then he changed his mind and he said, you know what, she's right, I never did. And they came to Rava to Paskin, what can we do to make her Muteres Lushuk, to allow her to get remarried? So Amalu Rava, Chalotzula. Rava said, you gotta do Chalitza, Vishala Tigra, and then you can let her out of base and she could do whatever she wants. Amalei Rav Shravi L'Rava, Rav Shravi said to Rava, what do you mean you could just do a Chalitza? Vatani Tzricha get v'chalitza. Didn't we just learn a brisa that said you need both a get and a chalitza? Samalei itanya tanya. Okay, if there's a brisa, then there's a brisa. Okay, so then I give up. You know, if there's a brisa that says such a thing, so then you have to follow that brisa. So boy mine hon bered Rav Nachman mid Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's son Hon asked Rav Nachman the following case. Sarasa mahu. Meaning, let's say a Yavam did Yibum with his Yavama and based in Pater the Tzara, and then after some time, after they've supposedly had Yibum, the Yavama says, you know what? He never had Bia with me. The Yibum was never actually performed. So do we hold the Tzara back from getting remarried as well? The Yavama is now claiming that there never was a Yibum, so we're going to keep the Tzara from getting remarried as well? Because nothing has been done yet? So Amarlei, V'chim Ibnei Shanukovin and Mavakshin Te'asur Tzara, what, just because we're forcing him or we're asking him to do a Chalitza, you think we're going to hold back the Tzara? No, for sure not. There's a chazaka that if a couple goes home together, that we assume, meaning if the man goes home with one of his brother's wives, we assume that he did yibum, and that immediately paters all the tzaros. Okay, later the wife that he went home with is claiming he didn't really do yibum yet. He's admitting that he didn't do yibum. That's a separate discussion, but that's not going to impact whatsoever any of the tzaros. The tzaros are still going to be mutter. Okay, then the Mishnah said hanoderes hanoa, that if a woman took a neder hanoa from her yavam, So if she did so while her husband was still alive, we force him to do chalitza. If she did so after her husband died, we can't force him to do chalitza because he might claim, I'm interested in doing yibum. I didn't want her to take a neder hana against me. So we can only ask him to do chalitza. And if she had kavana for this, for the yavam, even if the husband, she took the neder while the husband was alive, well, the most we could do is ask him to do chalitza. We can't force him to do chalitza. So the Gemara brings a mishnah that discusses a woman who asks herself on her husband. Tanan Hasam, there's a mishnah in the end of Masechet Nedarim that discusses the following. That initially they used to say that three women could have to be divorced against their will from their husbands, and they get paid a ksuba on their way out. If let's say you have an Eishes Kohen that says that I was Nenas, that Rachman al son, she was raped, and therefore she's Asura Labaila, so she's going to get her ksuba. She did nothing wrong, but the marriage is over because her husband is a Kohen. Or Ashamayim Beni Levencha, if she says that everyone knows that that this man is unable to have Bia, Kederich Bnei Adam, the way normal people have Bia, and therefore the Ashamayim Beni Levencha, only the Ribbono Shalom knows, because only heaven knows, because no one else would know such a thing. That's the way Rashi understands. Tulsa says, why doesn't the Gemara say in Nedarim why doesn't Rashi explain the way the Gemara says in the Dharm Dev Sadi Aleph, that Shemayim Ben Yubenach means that his Zera is not Yorah Kechetz, that it doesn't shoot out in a way that will ever impregnate her. So Tosfos thinks that's the Pshat in Shemayim Ben Yubenach. But anyway, Rashi says it's that he's not able to even do a Maisa Tashmish. Nitula Ani Min HaYehudim, or if she says that, Tashmish is very hard for me, and therefore I can't stay married, it's just impossible for me to have Tashmish. But in case the husband is suspecting her of trying to get out of the marriage because Nasna Eneha Ba'acher, she fell in love with somebody else, so she takes a neder that I'm not getting Hanoah from any man, from all the Yehudim, from all the Jewish people, I'm not going to be married. And that will encourage the husband to divorce her and to pay her ksuba. She doesn't lose her ksuba because she's unable to have Tashmish. Chazru Lomar, Shalot Eishin Nasna Eneha Ba'acher, Umakalkelis Al Baila. They then said that, you know what, these three Tainos are not, she's not going to have automatic Ne'amanus, because we're concerned that she maybe will fall in love with someone else and try to make her marriage end against her husband's will in order to run off with this other man. Ella, so the Chum instead say, Ha'omeris t'mei anilach tavi raya l'dvareha. If you have an Eishes Kohen that claims that she was raped, she's going to have to bring a raya that that's in fact true, which is quite a chiddush, meaning the halacha really is that she's ne'menes on a daraisa level, which means she's a surah l'baila on a daraisa level. And now the Rabbanan are going to say, you know what, she's not ne'menes, and therefore the husband's allowed to violate the yisur of being with his wife after she was ne'ensa, a very big chiddush. So the Ran explains that even though Min Hadin, she's Ne'emenes, that she was Ne'ensa, and Shitaka is Aser to her husband, who's a Kohen, because a person is Ne'eman to Aser anything on themselves, but the Chum have the right to make a Geder, a Siag, to be Oker Dov Min HaTorah. And over here, they were Oker Dov Min HaTorah in order to make a Geder that she shouldn't try to get out of a marriage because Hashem Nasnei Ne'a Ba'acher. Or the Chachamim have another tool in their tool belt, and that is that they could be Mafkia the Kiddushin the Mafreya, Afkin Rabban the Kiddushin Minei. They could say, you know what, this woman's marriage to her Kohen husband was never really a marriage. Mimela, if it was never really a marriage, she when she got raped, it didn't make her Asura to her husband, and maybe that's the tool that the Rabbanon use in order to get her out of it. Hashemayim b'ni levenach, back in the Gemara, if she says that he's unable to have Tashmish, Yasu Darach Bakasha, then they're going to have to ask from the husband that you behave with her like a normal husband and wife, that you actually have a Maisa Bia. That's the way Rashi understands. The way Tosfos understands is that if her claim was that it's a Yorah Kechetz, based on the Gemara at the end of the Darim, then Yasu Darach Bakasha means they got a daven. They have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to enable her to get pregnant and to have children. Netula ani min HaYehudim, and if she says that I'm Netula min HaYehudim, that I have a neder, I'm not going to get Hanoah from anybody, Yofer Chelko, the husband is mefer the chelik of the neder that relates to him. She remains Asura to the rest of the world, but but he's made for the part of the nether that relates to him. And she stays with him like a regular husband and wife, but she's usher forever to the whole rest of the world. So this is all to set up the following shayla. When she takes that nether, what if the husband then dies? Is she asura to the yavam by virtue of that nether, that she took a nether, that she's asura to the whole world? Is the yavam included in that nether? Was she already thinking, maybe my husband will die, and therefore the yavam will be one of the eligible bachelors that I'll, you know, will be someone that I might have a relationship with one day, and therefore she included him in the nether? Or do we assume, no, a woman is married, she's never going to be thinking about, she might be thinking about getting married to other people at some point if she ever gets divorced, but she's never going to be thinking about her brother-in-law, she's not going to be thinking about her husband's brother, that her husband's going to die before they have children, she's going to have a yibum situation. It's so rare, and therefore maybe the yavam was never even included in the nether. So Rav Amar Yavam Eino Kebal, that the Baal has to be made for his chelek, but the Yavam is mutter even without any hafara. He was never included in the nether. Ushmuel Amar Yavam Hareu Kebal, that the Yavam is aser to her just like everybody else's, unless you do a hafara, because she included in her nether all other people, including the Yavam. Now, he can't be made for his chelek, and therefore he's going to have to do chalitza on her. He's not going to be able to do yibum with her. So the Gemara brings a raya to Rav from our Mishnah. Amar Abaye Kavasid Rav Mistavra. It's more Mistavra like Rav, that a Yavam is not like the Baal, that he does not become Aser to her. She never had a thought when she took that neder to include the Yavam in the neder. Ditran, because it says in our Mishnah, Hanoderes Hanami Yavam B'chay Baila, if a woman took a neder from her Yavam while her husband was alive, Kofnos HaShiachlots, we're going to force that Yavam to do Chalitza. Vim Isa, but if Shmuel is correct that she already thinks while her husband is alive that maybe he's going to die and she's going to need to face the Yavam, and therefore she's including the Yavam in the Neder, well then the Mishnah should have said that we only ask the Yavam to do Chalitza, not that we force him to do Chalitza, because she tried to go out of her way to make the Yavam Asura to her, and in such a case you can't force the Yavam to do anything. You can only be Mevakish, because the Yavam can say, I want to do Yibum. So answers the Gemara, no, it's not a raya. Hachmei skin b'isha shiesh labanim dukolei haylo maski adaita. Now maybe the case is a woman who had children from the husband, and therefore we assume that she would never have thought to include the yavam in the neder, because she already has children. Meaning, what would it take for her to do yibam if she already has children? What it would take would be for not only her husband to die, but for all of her children to die first, and then for her husband to die. That she's not thinking along those lines, that the children are going to die and the husband will also die. Aval ein lo banim, but if the woman does not have any children from him and she takes a neder hana'a from the husband's brother, my, what would the halacha be? Then ein achnami, mevakshin. Then we wouldn't be kofin, we would only be mevakishin. So says Gemara, but if that's the case, adetani im niskabnu l'kach afi b'chaye bala mevakshin menu shiach l'tzla, when the Mishnah wanted to come up with a case where we're only mevakesh that he does chalitza, and instead of the Mishnah saying, oh, you know what the case would be? If she had kavana to aser herself on the yavam, even when she took the neder while the husband was alive, then we could only be mevakesh. No, livlog listening b'dida. We could have mentioned this chilek even in the case that we were already talking about. That b'medvar mamurim b'shiyesh labanim. When do we say that we force the yavam to do chalitza? Only if she has children. Avol ein labanim. But if at the time that she took the neder, she did not have children, mevakshin. We should have made the chilek right there and said, in such a case, we're mevakish. Ela shemamina lo shayesh labanim lo shein labanim kofnoso. Kirav Shemamina. So this therefore proves that it doesn't matter whether she had children or she didn't have children. Rav was correct. In either of those cases, we force him to do the chalitza because she never had a hava amina to include the yavam in her neder. That when a woman takes a neder from all of the potential people that she might marry, she doesn't think that the yavam is one of those potential people that she might marry. It's too removed from her consciousness. So Shemamina, therefore we prove that Rav is correct. Hadron Alech Beishamai, and that therefore concludes the 13th parak of Maseches Yevamos. Bamas. Now we move on to a new parak, the 14th parak, and this parak is going to discuss issues relating to Yibum Chalitza when the Nisuin is only a Nisuin Midrabanan, when the marriage is only a marriage Midrabanan. So in order to understand this, it's important to realize that there are three levels of marriage. You can have two people, a man and a woman, who are both Bnei Da'as, where the man is Mekadesh the woman, and everyone is a willing participant in it, meaning like every wedding you've ever been to in your life, right? Meaning there's an adult male, an adult female, they're all happy to be there. She got all dressed up in a white dress, he put on a black suit or a tuxedo, I don't know, whatever kinds of weddings you go to, you know, different strokes for different folks. So he, you know, they all got dressed up, they're all ready to get married, they're all into it. So that's a kiddush, that's chal min haTorah. Then you have a situation where you have a cheresh or a chareshes where they're not bnei das. In such a case, min haTorah, sometimes you have weddings like this. I mean, in the Torah, the marriage is not chal, but the chachamim are mesaking that they have the capability of getting married in order not to be mvatim perivirivya, and therefore the marriage is chal midrabanan. And then you have a situation where not a cheresh or a chareshes, but someone's a shota or a katan, and in such a case, the chachamim were not mesaking nisuin, and the nisuin doesn't even have any shemets of kiddushin. It's not a kiddushin at all. It's just a biasnus, whatever they do. So, and when it comes to divorce, a woman who has kiddushin min haTorah needs divorce min haTorah from a ben das. If the kiddushin is only midrabanan, then even a cheresh who's not a ben das can divorce her. However, the din gerushin is different than the din kiddushin. See, by kiddushin min haTorah, you need the das of the ish and the isha. But by gerushin, it's not necessary for the woman to be a bas das, because the halacha is, strictly speaking, gerushin works bal karcha, that a man can divorce his wife even bal karcha, lest someone ask, but that's not nice, how could it be that he could divorce his wife bal karcha? That does not mean that it is permissible to divorce one's wife bal karcha. Someone came over to me, Daf Yomi Magichir, just came over to me the other day, and he said, this is my fourth cycle of Daf already, I still can't explain how Yibum happens bal karcha. How could it be that he's allowed to rape his sister-in-law? So whoa, it doesn't say that. It says that Yibum is effective if it happens that way. No one says that he's allowed to do that, right? So similarly, when it comes to a get bal karcha is, it works as a get, that she's going to be divorced. No one holds you're allowed to actually do that. There's a Chayim to Rabbeinu Gershom, Rav Shachter often points out that the Chayim to Rabbeinu Gershom was on things that were usher already. It's just that Rabbeinu Gershom attached the Chayim to it because people take Charamim more seriously than they take Isurim sometimes. So Rabbeinu Gershom, it's not like before Rabbeinu Gershom came along that you're allowed to read other people's mail. That was always usher. You were never allowed to do that. It's just that Rabbeinu Gershom had to attach a Chayim to it. So here also, by being Megari Shanisha Bal Karcha, but the bottom line is, since you could be being Megari Shanisha Bal Karcha works, so you see that gerushin could work even if the woman is not a bas das. So now the Mishnah discusses all of the permutations of marriages and yibums and chalitzas when you have one party who's a cherish. So says the Mishnah, cherish nasa pikachas. Let's say you have a cherish that marries a woman who's a pikachas, who's not a chareshes, and vipikech shenasa chareshes. Or you have a case of a pikech that marries a chareshes. So mratzalahotzi, if the husband wants to divorce his wife, yotzi, he can give her a get. V'rmatza l'kayim, and if he wants to stay married, yikayim. So let him stay married. They're perfectly permissible to stay married. The Tosos points out that that's a duffer pasha, that he's allowed to, that they're allowed to stay married. But since it says that v'rmatza yigarish, so it also says v'rmatza yikayim. But there's no chiddush in that line of v'rmatza yikayim. The Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnah says that there is a chiddush, that he's allowed to be mekayim her, and she doesn't have a din of a shota. Shota, you're not allowed to be mekayim. So even though a cherish is not a bar das, but he could be megarish. The whole marriage only happened midrabanan, so the same way the marriage happened midrabanan, the gerushin could happen midrabanan. Meaning, normally a gerush cannot give a get, but he's not really married. He's only a gerush, meaning that he's not really married on a daraisa level. So the same way the rabbanan were misakin that you could get married biramiza, you can also, you know, with sign language or whatever, you can also get divorced biramiza. Pikeach shenasa pikachas, if you have a person who's a bardas that marries a bastas v'nischarsha, and then the bastas became a cherish, so imratzi yotzi, if he wants to give her a get, he can, because she doesn't need to be a bastas to receive a get, he only needs to be bardas to give the get. But v'imratzi yikayim, and if they want to stay married, that's fine as well. Nishtatis, but let's say she she didn't become a charesha, she became a shota. So then lo yotzi. Then we do not allow him to divorce her, even though by gerushin she doesn't need to be a bastas, and therefore you would think the divorce should work, even though she's a shota. The chum were concerned that if you're going to send a shota out onto the streets, they're going to be noig baminik hefker. It's going to be a terribly immoral things are going to happen. So we do not allow for that. Nischarish hu onishtata. Let's say the husband became a cherish or became a shota. Then they lose the opportunity to ever be able to give a get, because you need the husband to be a bardas in order to be able to give a get. So if he now is no longer a bardas, he's no longer able to give a get. Why is it that a man who's a cheresh is not able to give a get, but a woman who's a cheresh is able to receive a get? For exactly the reason we've been explaining the whole time, that a man can give a get only if he has full kavana and das and ratzon. A woman, even bal karacha, becomes divorced. So therefore, you don't need her to be a bas das in order to receive a get. Now the chum bring a raya that a woman could be miskareshes even if she's not interested in it. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada al chareshes shesiavia. There was a case of a chareshes ketana whose father married her off, which means that the kiddushin was chal mida oraisa, because the mida oraisa father, as long as the father was a bar das, he's allowed to give her to whoever he wants. So if the husband wants to divorce her, shehi yotza beget, that he's allowed to give her a get even after she's already no longer under the jurisdiction of her father. She's already older. She's already 20, 30 years old. The husband is still able to give her a get. So the Chum said to, why is the husband able to give her a get? She's not a bardas. Right, she doesn't need to be a bardas to receive the get. So the Chum said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, based on what Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada said, that if an Isha has Kiddushin min HaTorah, the husband could be Megarish her when she's no longer a bardas. So Avzu Kayotzebo, an Isha that got married when she was a Pikachas, and then later on something went wrong and she became a chareshes, she can also go with a get. You can also give her a get, because it's the same thing. The point is that if you have a kiddushin min haTorah, you're able to do a gerushin, even though the woman is not a bardas. So now that was as far as marriages are concerned. That was the uncomplicated part of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah goes through every possible permutation as far as yibum and chalitza is concerned if somebody is a cherish. So let's go through each permutation. You have two brothers who are charashim married to two sisters. The first, we're going to go through all the cases of brothers married to sisters. Then we're going to go through all the cases of brothers married to women who are nachrios, who are not sisters. But it's just going through every permutation. There are like three rules that you need to know, and it's just applications of the same rules over and over and over again. So So you have two charashim married to two sisters who are charashos. So both mitzad the baal and mitzad the woman, they're only married midrabanan, because nobody's a ben das over here. So therefore, the surviving brother is not able to do yibum on the eishes hameis, because she's only his wife midrabanan. So ol shtei achios pichos, or for that matter, you have two cherish brothers married to two sisters who have das. Or the two sisters, one of them is a cherish and one of them is not a cherish. Meaning, it doesn't matter what the sisters are. Once you're dealing with the case of two brothers that are both charashim, then we know that the marriages to begin with were all derabanan marriages, regardless of what the sisters were. And most of the marriages were derabanan marriages. Or flip it. Or let's say both sisters were charashos and both brothers were bnei das. Or l'shneachin charashin. Or l'shneachin echcherish v'echad pikech. Or it doesn't matter what the brothers are. They could have both been bnei das. They could have both been not bnei das. They could have been one and one. But as long as both sisters were charashos, they are pater from chalitza and yibum in all of these cases, because she is achos ishto of the yavam, and she's an erva that's pater from yibum. Even though the kiddushin of his wife is only kiddushin midrabanan and min haTorah, her sister is therefore not an erva. But nevertheless, the iser of erva midrabanan is going to pater them from a yibum midrabanan. Meaning, his whole requirement to do yibum is only on account of a marriage that was midrabanan. So the fact that he's married midrabanan to her sister is enough to get him out of that chiyuv yibum midrabanan. So as long as either both brothers are harashim or both sisters are harashos, so we know that any of these marriages, all of these marriages to begin with, were only marriages midrabanan, you're never going to need yibum b'chalitza, because it's viewed as an erva where you don't need yibum b'chalitza. But v'mayun achrios, let's say the two women were not sisters, so then yichnosu. Then you do yibum, and the yibum is only midrabanan because it came on account of a nisuin midrabanan, but you can't do chalitza because he's a cheresh, so he's not going to be able to say lo chafatzdi lekachta. And if the woman is a cheresha, she's not going to be able to say kacha yeasalish v'imratza lahotzi yotziu. And if after you do the yibum he wants to divorce her, so you could get divorced, just like any cheresh who wants to get divorced. That since the whole zika of yibum in the first place is only midrabanan, so it was all on account of a nisuin midrabanan. So he could be motzi her beremiza. So a nisun of a cheresh, that when he was konis her beremiza, he could be motzi her beremiza. So now the Gemara discusses two brothers who married two sisters, where one of the marriages was d'oraisa and the other marriage was drabanan. Meaning the previous case was where all the marriages to begin with, both marriages to begin with, were only drabanan. Now we say, what if one of the marriages was d'oraisa? Shnei achin echad cheresh ve'echad bikeach nisun shnei achios pichos. The one brother is a cheresh, the other one's not, and both of the wives are perfectly healthy. Then the cheresh who was married to one of the pikchos dies, and now this pikachas has a yibum situation with the pikeach surviving brother. What should the pikeach surviving brother do? So teitzei, the woman is pater from any sort of chalitz or yibum, mishamachos isha, because this surviving pikeach is fully married to this woman's sister, fully married mida oraisa to this woman's sister. Because he's a pikeach, bal pikachas. So they're fully married. And therefore, if there's a yibum drabanan situation that presents itself with her sister, totally pater. She's an erva. But what if the opposite happens? Meis pikeach bal pikachas. What if the one who was married mida oraisa dies? So now you have a yibum mida oraisa situation for a man with a yavam who's married mida rabanan to her sister. Mayas acherish bal pikachas. So motzi ishto beget, he's going to right away have to get divorced from his wife because he's facing a yibum d'oraisa situation. So he's got to get rid of his wife midrabanan veishasach v'asura liolam, and the woman that is nafla liyibum is asur to him and to everybody forever because she's always going to remain zukuka to yibum. He can't be miyabimur because she's asura to him because she's achos ishto, and even after he divorces his wife, she's achos grushaso. So even though the marriage is midrabanan, but that Isra of Achos Grushaso remains. He can't do Chalitza because he's a Cheresh. So he's not able to do Chalitza when there's a real Yibum Midoraisa situation. So she's stuck. She's going to be in Aguna for the rest of her life, sadly. Shnei Achin Pichin Nusun Shnei Achios. If you have two brothers who are Pichin that are married to two Achios, Achas Chareshos V'Achas Pikachas. So again, one of the marriages is Drabanan because one of the women is a Chareshos in this case. In the previous case, one of the men was a Cheresh. Now one of the women is a chereshes. So of the four parties, there's only one cheresh in all the cases in the previous case and in this case. But in the previous case, one of the men was a cheresh. In this case, one of the women was a chereshes. So meis pikeach bal chereshes, the chereshes' husband died. Mayasa pikeach bal pikachas. What should the pikachas' husband do? So teitzei mishamachos isha. Nothing. She's fine because he's fully married midoraisa, and now a sister from a marriage midrabanan presents herself for yibum. I'm married midoraisa to your sister. Your pater bevelo klum. Meis pikeach bal pikachas. If the pikeach, the bal pikachas, dies, so then mayasa pikeach bal achareshas. What should the guy who's stuck in a marriage midrabanan do when a yibum midoraisa situation presents itself? So motzias ishto beget, he divorces his wife because he can't live with her anymore because minatora she's achos zekukaso. Minatora he has a zika to a yibum veseishasach bechalitza. And he can't do yibum either because she's achos grushaso from his nisuin midrabanan, but he can do chalitza because he's not a cheresh, he's a pikeach. So the chalitza pikeach is going to be kosher. Shnei achin. Now the Mishnah said another case. Shnei achin echad cheresh ve'echad pikeach nisuin l'shtei achoyos achas chareshes v'achas pikachas. You have a cheresh married to a chareshes and a pikeach married to a pikachas. Brothers and sisters, meis cheresh bal chareshes. So the Cheresh brother died, Mayasa Pikeach Bal Pikachas. What does the Pikeach brother do with this Chareshes that now comes to him with a Yibum Durabanan situation? Well, that's easy. Teitzi Mishum Achosisha. She's Achosishto, so nothing. You don't do anything. She's free to go because he's married Midoraisa to her sister. Meis Pikeach Bal Pikachas. If the Pikeach Bal Pikachas is the one that dies, Mayasa Cheresh Bal Chareshes, what should the Cheresh, who's now faced with a Yibum Doraisa situation, do with his wife, the Chareshes? So Motzi Asishto beget. He can't live with her anymore because she's a Chosu Kukaso, so he has to give her a get. Ve'ishazach Vasuli Olam. But the sister, though the Yavama, is going to be Asa forever. He can't do Chalitza with her because he's a Cheresh, and the Cheresh can't do Chalitza, and she remains Zakuktin. He can't do Yibum because she's a Chos Grushaso Midarabana, so he can't do that either. So now the Mishnah transitions and says, okay, and what if the sisters weren't sisters, they were just two random women who are not related to each other? So go back to that case. We have two brothers, one of them is a Cheresh, the other one's not, and they're married to two women, not sisters, who are not related to each other, who are Bnei Da, Bnos Das. So Meis Cheresh Bal Pikachas, if the Cheresh dies, Mayasa Pikech Bal Pikachas, what should the brother who is a Bar Das do? Oh, Chalitza Miyabim. He has his choice. He could do Chalitza or he could do Yibum, because he's not married to her sister, so he's allowed to do Yibum, and he could do Chalitza as well. He's a Bar Das, and she's a Bar Das. What would be the problem? Meis Pikech Bal Pikachas, if the Pikech is the one that dies, so the surviving brother is a Cheresh, Mayasa Cheresh Bal Pikachas, what should the surviving brother do? So Kones, he has to do Yibum on the Yavama, and he's allowed to do Yibum on the Yavama, but he doesn't do Chalitza because the Cheresh is not able to do Chalitza. Ve'inu motzi li'olam, and he's never allowed to get divorced from her either, because whatever get he would give would only be impactful midrabanan. But he's now married to this woman midoraisa, because she was married with the marriage midoraisa and then came to him through a Yibum that was a result of that marriage midoraisa. So they're never able to get divorced. Next case, Shnei Achim Pitchin, both men are Bnei Das, Nisun Shnei Nachrios, married to two women who are not related to each other, but Achas Pikachas Vachas Chareshes, one of the women is a Pikachas, the other is a Chareshes, Meis Pikech Bal Chareshes, so let's say the Chareshes is the one that now faces a Yibim situation, Mayasa Pikech Bal Pikachas, what should the surviving brother do, the surviving Pikech brother do? So Kones, he could do Yibim, and he doesn't have to, he's not able to do Chalitza, because she's a Chareshes, so she can't do Chalitza. But if he wants to divorce her, he is able to divorce her because he's a Bar Das. Even though she's a Chareshes, you can give a get to a Chareshes. Meis Pikeach Bal Pikachas, if the Pikeach Bal Pikachas is the one that dies, so now Mayasa Pikeach Bal Chareshes, what should the Pikeach do who's married to the Chareshes with this Pikachas who now faces Yibum with him? So Ochaleitz, they could do Chalitza because they're both Pikachim, Omiyabim, or you could do Yibum. Shnei Achim, final case, we're allowed to go a little bit over time because I'm in camp now, so we don't have chakras right after. So Shnei Achim, if you have two brothers, Echad Cheresh Vechad Pikeach, one of them is a Cheresh and one of them is a Pikeach, Nisu and the Shtei Nachrios, that are married to two women that are not related to each other, but Achas Chareshes Vachas Pikachas, one of them is a Cheresh, one of them is a Pikeach. So the Cheresh brother is married to the Chareshes woman, the Pikeach brother is married to the Pikachas woman. Meis Cheresh Bal Chareshes, so the Cheresh dies, so their marriage midrabanan is over, and now there's a Yibum midrabanan situation. Mayasa Pikeach Bal Pikachas, what should the surviving Pikeach brother do? Kones, he could do Yibum. He can't do Chalitza because the Chareshes can't participate in the Chalitza. But Vimratza Lahotzi Yotzi, if he wants to divorce her afterwards, he could do that too because the Chareshes can receive a get. Meis Pikeach Bal Pikachas, if the Pikeach brother is one that dies, so now we have a Yibum Midoraisa situation facing the Cheresh brother, the surviving Cheresh brother, Mayas a Cheresh Bal Chareshes, what should the Cheresh do? Kones, he could do Yibum because a Cheresh cannot do Chalitza, but he'll never be able to divorce her because the Cheresh also is unable to give a get. So again, the basic rules are a Cheresh can't do Chalitza, a Chareshes can't do Chalitza, a Cheresh can't give a get, but a Chareshes can receive a get. And we know that you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister. And once you know those basic rules, all of these cases you could figure out in your mind how to work them out, what they're supposed to do in all of these cases. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow, same time, we'll pick up at the Gemara on the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Everyone have a wonderful evening.
Yashkech.